take those prayers on my behalf. 1 John 1, verse 2 says, "The life was manifested, we have seen and bear witness. Declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us." John says, as well as the rest of the apostles, that "we have seen, heard, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us." And we understand what fellowship is based upon from these verses if we truly believe of what the apostles saw in their testimony that this man lived upon earth. And John tries to get us to see through the eye of faith that which is written down, that which they saw physically, that God was made flesh and we could believe on him and to be as he was while here upon earth, of what they saw in him, that they could declare truly this was the Son of God. It was by those things of how he conducted his life here upon this earth. And that's how people understand that we're Christians. It's how we conduct our life in like manner. John deals with this in the first epistle of John and shows that we can know who we believe that God was made manifest, and that those who do not believe is made manifest. And that's what John is writing about. He says of them in 4 and verse 3 that these are the Antichrist who does not believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So if we recognize and we believe that and we manifest those things in our life that we truly believe that, then we have fellowship with him. But likewise, if we do not manifest those self in our life, then we're not showing forth that we truly believe that he came in the flesh. The epistles are written, not only Paul's, but Peter, all those epistles are written with concerns about this, of how the early church, those within the church, conducted themselves. Some were not manifest in this attitude, if you will. And they're labeled as such. Likewise, John does the same way. But John also shows forth to us in chapter 3 how we can know those who do not believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. Verse 1, he says, "Blood, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Again, this spirit is having reference to man. We are to test man, what they teach. The epistles were written to Christians. We need to keep this in mind. They're not being written to those in the world. They're being written to Christians, those who have obeyed and may have gone back and now are teaching something different. But they're written to them, how we can know them and have nothing to do with them, that we can label them, if you will. He says, "Test the spirits, whether they are of God." We have that standard by which we do that. We have the apostles' word, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John's overall purpose for the epistle is stated in chapter 5 and verse 13. When John there says, "These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue." He says, "These things are written that you may believe, and by believing you will have eternal life if you continue." The same statement is made in the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and verse 21, when John there says, "These things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John is concerned about those who are trying to deceive those to whom he is writing to and to take away their confidence. In chapter 2 and verse 26, John there says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you." So that was the purpose of John's writing. How would they know from this statement who was trying to deceive them? And claiming that they believed that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh, but truly had not. There was a way in which they were to know. In chapter 3, John gives a standard by which those to whom he is writing may know who the children of God were and who the children of God were not. In chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, "Whoever does not practice righteousness or does not love his brother is not of God." So evidently there was love that was not being manifest there to those spiritual children that John were writing to. So if love is not being manifest, then one is not believing that Jesus Christ has truly come in the flesh. That's what John is warning about. Here's how you may know the Antichrist. If love is not being manifest. Verse 14, John says, "We have passed from death to life." In other words, from the world of sin into fellowship with God. We have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Here's a standard that shows, do we truly believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? If we love each other. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. John 13 verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what would you say according to John's statements, if love is not being manifest among the children of God, what's wrong with them? There's only one conclusion you can come to. If you truly believe that Jesus, that God was revealed in the flesh, you're going to have the characteristics, if you will, or his lifestyle in your life. Or else you do not believe that. The passing from death to life is what causes this love. We were once sinners, now we're saved. And for that we should be joyous. And rejoice in that. And it is infallible evidence that one is a true disciple and that they manifest love. Here's going to be an infallible evidence to Ray, if he manifests love, that he is a true disciple of God. He cannot be proven otherwise. But if that is not there, then it can be proven otherwise. Because he's going to do those things that Jesus Christ done here upon this earth, which the apostles saw and which they told us he done. In our life, as Paul talks about, imitate me as I have imitated Christ. In other words, it means to follow in the same pattern. So if I show that love, then I'm saying that this man dwelt here upon this earth and done those things that are revealed to us. And he who does not love his brother, we're told in verse 4, abides in death. Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. There was dangers here in those so-called people that claim the same belief, that we believe that Jesus Christ was revealed in the flesh. But Paul and the other writers of these epistles is warning them that's not so. Because he's warning them, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. These three words, bite, devour, consume, has reference to what one animal does to another animal. Devour means to gulp down. Vine says devour means to exploit or prey on one another. Paul said, don't do that. That's what you're doing, don't do it. Because if you're doing that, then your belief is not in that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He goes on to say that bite, devour, and consume form a climax. The first two describe the process. The last, the act of swallowing down to destroy. And that's what those who do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh seek to do to you. And John is warning of that. Paul warns of that. That it's a process. This process of eating, devouring, and then the consummation of that, you completely destroy your brother. And John says that person is the Antichrist. Ephesians 4, when you look at this, of other passages, Ephesians 4 and verse 25, of how they were treating one another, Paul there says, put away lying. Lying does not manifest love. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What horrible things to say of a child of God, but that was what taking place. It's no different today in congregations of the Lord's church today. Love is not manifest. There's division, there's anger, there's malice, there's evil speaking, there's lying. And so we deal with it today. And in that we do not manifest that God sent his Son through the eyewitness of the apostles. Again, Paul is here referring. This was their relationship with one another, not to the world. It was relationship of those who at one time believed the same thing. Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, meaning quit grumbling. There was grumbling going on in the early church. And arguing, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless as children of God. What did Christ manifest while here upon this earth? The apostles tell us what he manifested. And we can believe that. And we're to be as He was. Colossians 3 and verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, Paul making these statements, this was going on. Love, again, was not being manifest. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, this destroying. And so with those words, we understand that those who do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they seek to devour about one another. Who are they following? Because the same statement is made of Satan. To prevent this from happening, though, Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 14, love your neighbor. We're to love one another. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, against such there is no law. So which one do we manifest in our life? We can know who believes that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You may know those of maybe if it's in this congregation or other congregations. Folks, it's how we treat one another. 1 John 3 and verse 19, by this love we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. If we have love, then we have assurance in our heart that we are acceptable before Him. In 4 and verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And of course, everyone that does not believe that is the Antichrist. 4 and verse 6, we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. And how do we know that? It's by what is manifest in one life. By what those proclaim about Christ. We can know those who embrace the truth and those who do not through how we treat one another. That Christ was made manifest in the flesh. John 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. If you believe that, then you manifest love. Or you truly do not believe that. There's no other conclusion you can come to. You can't say, well, I particularly don't love you or care for you, but I believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You cannot have those two together. You're denying His very existence if we don't treat each other as we should. You're denying that very existence that He did not come. What other conclusions can you come to? You can't say, I believe that, then bite and devour. We cannot bite and devour one another, or lie to one another, or cheat one another. They just do not go together. Throughout the epistle, John's words to test those who deny that Christ had come in the flesh. If you believe that Christ came in the flesh, how would you know it? Mark, how would you know it? How would you know when you truly say, I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Any of you. How would you know it, Donnie?
By your actions.
By your actions. That's the only way you're going to know it. You cannot know any other way to prove that there was a Son of God who came to this earth, died upon the cross for our sins, other than through our actions. And you deny that very existence. That John said, we saw, we testify that He done this. If our life is filled with this stuff, you deny that very thing. There's no other way that we can know. It's by how we treat one another. If Christ had not come in the flesh, we could not know who the Father was. Because Christ came to reveal the Father. That's the only way we know the Father. Was through His earthly existence. John 14 and verse 7, John there says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on you know Him and have seen Him. Well, they hadn't physically seen Him as they saw the Son, because the Son was made flesh. But what Christ is saying, I am who the Father is. And if He hadn't come, then we have no clue of what the Father is. Who He is and what He is. We just do not know. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says, imitate Me just as I imitate Christ, that we alluded to. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate these to follow. Christ done the Father's will. The apostles followed Christ's example. We are to follow the apostles, and stamp it. These tests that John talks about have been on the basis of who God is as revealed by Jesus when he came in the flesh. God is light, God is righteous, God is pure, God is love, God is long-suffering. You add them there. Whatever you want to put there that's good. God is that. God is good. And Jesus Christ was God, the Father revealed in the flesh as the Son. That all that the Father was, Christ was. And the plea of the Bible, the apostles, is that we want to be like that, and you need to be like that, of all that he was. Because of that, John says, therefore we have passed from life, from death to life, because we believe that. And it's manifest in our life. We walk in light, we practice righteousness, we purify ourselves, we do not keep sinning, we love one another. Because we have passed from death to life. And the conclusion of that would be, if you fail this test, you're still in your sins. 3 and verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him. If you do not keep those commandments, you are not in Christ. John's gospel and his first epistle are based upon Jesus coming in the flesh. But the point of Jesus coming in the flesh again is that he's the only one who has seen the Father. And by coming in the flesh, he's the only one who can reveal who the Father is. The question would be, do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he became flesh? That he has shown to us who the Father is. John 1 and verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he declared him to the apostles, to whom the apostles declared to us. John 8, verse 42, I proceeded forth and came from God. He sent me. Christ said in John 17, verse 4, I have glorified you, talking to the Father. How? He said, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world was. He had finished the course of what the Father sent him to do. And in doing that, he revealed who the Father was. If the Father had not sent his only begotten Son into the world would not know who the Father was. And by that, Christ became our standard by which we know the Father. If we understand and we believe what the apostles wrote, we understand the standard. Christ revealed the standard from the Father of what we should be and what we should believe. We have no excuse if we continue in a sinful lifestyle today. Those to whom John referred to in 1 John 2 and verse 19 says they went out from us. Those who went out from them have no excuse for the sinfulness. And the warning of those in 5 and verse 13 that they may continue in this fellowship. A danger that some will not. There may be a danger here today that some may not continue believing that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. 1 John 4 and verse 6, he who knows God, John says, hears us. Again, words of who is a disciple, whoever listens to the apostles' word from God. Whoever does not listen is not from God. And people today who do not uphold the apostles' doctrine are not from God. They may claim to be, but John labels them, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits where they are from. Because they could be false prophets. And again, the only standard that you're going to have, that I'm going to have, that you see me in your life, or I see you in my life, is your care for me or my care for you. That truly manifests that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 2, those on Pentecost, Peter is talking about. Peter deals with that in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. They did not believe that at the time until Peter showed them from the Old Testament scriptures of what this person was to come. That he was to die upon the cross, and he'd be raised the third day. Then they truly understood that this very Son of God had been revealed in the flesh and had been among them all this time, and they had failed to recognize that. He says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Brothers and sisters, if we're not manifesting love and care for one another as we should, the words of this book should cut us to the heart that we want to do that very thing as those on Pentecost did. When they ask that question, we have another standard of what God, the Father in heaven, revealed. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That's the standard. That takes you from life, or from death to life. And then there's a certain life that we have to live. That continues the moment I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that continues in my life. If not, then I have lived what I call a Christian life in vain. I've done all the things that in just doing them without love or purpose in my life, when I stand before God in judgment, he's going to condemn me for that. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come today. We stand and sing.